Random House Audio presents The Darkest Evening of the Year by Dean Koontz. Read for you by Kirsten Kairos. Part 1. Behind the wheel of the Ford Expedition, Amy Redwing drove as if she were immortal and therefore safe at any speed. In the second block, lights brightened windows at one house. Amy braked to a full stop in the street. She shifted the Expedition into reverse, backing into the driveway, she said. In an iffy situation, you want to be aimed out for the fastest exit. As she killed the headlights and the engine, Brian said, Iffy? Iffy like how? Getting out of the SUV, she said, with a crazy drunk guy, you just never know. So there's a crazy guy in there and he's drunk? On the phone, this Janet Brockman said her husband, Carl, he's crazy drunk, which probably means he's crazy from drinking. Amy started toward the house, and Brian gripped her shoulder, halting her. Well, maybe this is police business. Police don't have time for crazy drunk guys like this. I'd think crazy drunk guys are right down their alley. Shrugging off his hand, heading toward the house once more, she said, We can't waste time. He's violent. Brian hurried after her. He's crazy, drunk, and violent? I think he's only violent with their dog. But if this Carl does want to take a whack at me, that's okay, because I have you. Me? I'm an architect. Not tonight, sweetie. Tonight, you're muscle. As Amy reached for the bell push, the door opened. A young woman with a bruised mouth and a bleeding lip appeared at the threshold. Ms. Redwing? She asked. You must be Janet. I wish I wasn't. I wish I was you or anybody, somebody. Stepping back from the door, she invited them inside. Don't let Carl cripple her. He won't, Amy assured the woman. Janet blotted her lips with a bloody cloth. He crippled Maisie. Janet led them through an archway into a hall flanked by dark rooms like flooded grottos. The hall was shadowy except at the far end, where a thin wedge of light stabbed in from a room beyond. Entering the kitchen behind the two women, Brian could almost have believed that the source of the light was the golden retriever sitting alertly in the corner between the cooktop and the refrigerator. The dog seemed to shine. The man of the house was at the moment something less than a man. His eyes were watery with drink and blood. His jaw hung slack. His lips were cracked, perhaps from the chronic dehydration that afflicts an alcoholic. Carl Brockman turned his gaze on Brian. In those eyes shone not the mindless aggression of a man made stupid by drink, but instead the malevolent glee of a chained brute who had been liberated by it. To his wife, in a voice thick with bitterness, he said, What have you done? Nothing, Carl. I just called them about the dog. His face was a snarl of knotted threats. You must really want some, Jan. You do this, you know it's gonna get you only one thing. Raising his right hand from his side and high above his head, Carl revealed a tire iron. He gripped it by the pry end. With a backhand swing of the tool, Carl swept everything off the table. At the farther end of the kitchen, tequila splashed, glass shattered, and the ceramic Scotty scattered salt across the floor.